Netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney, you're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Hi, and welcome to this, our first FX Podcast of the year 2009. I'm John Montgomery. Thanks for listening. Well, I guess you could say we're starting off with a bit of breaking news this year. It was announced today that the Foundry is dramatically reducing the prices of their Sparks for the Autodesk systems. That's Furnace, Keylight, and Tinder. And the reason behind this is they're actually no longer going to be able to be part of the Autodesk Developers Network. That's a network that allows them inexpensive access to software to help them develop products and so forth. So what they're doing, because of the future development of the products being uncertain, they've dramatically reduced the prices. And we're going to be hearing more about that because Mike Seymour is going to be talking to Simon Robinson from the Foundry. But before we get to that, I'll just do a quick plug for our new term over at fxphd.com, which actually has two new classes for Flame and Flame and Smoke being taught by actually Mike and myself. We love doing the classes. Sometimes I get stuck doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, and I love doing the classes because I've been doing some production work with the folks at Hootenanny here in Chicago. And coincidentally, we're actually going to be giving members who are taking those classes at FXPhd a free 90-day license of Furnace for their Autodesk system product. That's only for the Autodesk systems, not Nuke or Shake. So if you have those systems, check out our offerings over at fxphd.com. And actually, we have a ton of courses over at the site this year, 15 new courses. And we've always had a focus on post-production, but we started adding some production things. And this term, what we're doing is we're devoting all our new courses to post. So we've got a great slate, including things like Houdini, Massive with Jeff Tobin, Advanced Nuke, the Flame classes I mentioned, Editing Theory, After Effects, of course, really a ton of great classes. So head on over to fxphd.com to check those out. When all of you regular listeners know all about fxphd.com, so I don't want to talk any more about that. And let's dive into the podcast for this week and get the skinny on what's happening with the Foundry and their Sparks for Flame, Smoke, and Flint.
And I'm joined on the line by Simon. Simon, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you, Mike.
So we've been kind of tracking this story off the radar for a little while now, but basically you find yourself in a position where I guess the upside is that there's a big reduction in the price of the Sparks for discrete or Autodesk users for systems products. Yep. But the downside is that this has all come about because you're no longer quite as connected or wired in to the Spark program as before. So I thought we'd take this opportunity just to kind of explain to everybody what's happened. So where is the situation at the moment as far as, firstly, what you're doing with the pricing of the Sparks, and then we'll explain what's sort of behind what's going on.
On pricing, we've gone for a significant reduction on all Sparks plugins for Autodesk systems products, so this is your Flint, Flame, Fire, Inferno, starting effectively at the beginning of this month. So this is through Furnace, Tinder, and Keylight, where we're now selling Furnace and Tinder at $1,000 a piece, and Keylight at $500 US for a single node lock license, which is somewhere in the order of between an 80 and 90% discount. So they're running at between 10 and 20% of their original cost.
Right. So that's US dollars, not English pounds, sterling.
That's right. US dollars.
Okay. And so this is you know, pretty big news and of a lot of interest to a lot of people. But unfortunately, it comes sort of on the heels of this situation that's changed in terms of the Autodesk Developer Network and your status with them. So maybe you can explain why it is that you've taken this step.
Yeah, the Autodesk run a third party relationship network, for want of a better word, and this is the Autodesk Developer Network, and this means that third parties can be provided with affordable system licenses and SDKs and things like that, which enable them to actually produce and market plugins for Autodesk systems. Autodesk have within their right to exclude people from this relationship, and this is what they've actually done in this case with the Foundry. So we've had roughly a 12-year relationship with first Discrete Logic and then through the years now with Autodesk, And Autodesk have decided that this year has been the last, or 2008 has been the last year they wish to run this program with us. So this leaves us out with no formal connection with Autodesk anymore. And we have been working with the guys in Montreal over the last month to see what other form of relationship we can come up with. And it's probably in interest of both parties to come to something. But at the moment, we're in a situation where there is no formal contract we can rely on that allows us easy access to Autodesk products. And because of that, we're then placed in a situation where the software we sell, we can't really, hand on heart, guarantee to customers that when they phone us up with a problem, we'll be there to fix it. And we can't really guarantee that when new versions of the Flint, Flame, Fire Inferno product line are rolled out, we also can't guarantee that if there's compatibility problems, we also can't guarantee anymore that we can fix them. And that pretty much is what led us down this massive price reduction road.
So for a start, this price reduction is only on the table at the moment until the end of January, and you're going to evaluate your position at the end of January, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so for this period at the end, up until the end of January, I can happily phone up the Foundry and you'll sell me some plugins, some sparks to go on my Flame, but it's the sort of proviso that you no longer have the capacity to adequately test that at your place because, you know, if you don't have any systems there, you can't basically test it. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so I guess most people wouldn't realize that for many, many years, if you were a Spark developer, there was actually sort of special versions of the software that were given out, you know, as part of this. I mean, this is not a unique thing to the Foundry. All the major equipment Spark companies that were part of this had these virtually sort of special versions of the products, didn't they?
That's right, yes. It's varied over the years, but the basic principle behind it is that they have been able to allow third-party developers to run with slightly restricted versions of the main software suites. This has often come in the form of, for example, watermarks on pictures has been a very common thing. So this gives Spark developers an affordable entry level to actually running these products in-house, which otherwise would be fairly prohibitive.
Because while you've gone the route of, say, reducing, as you said, dramatically the price anywhere between 80 and 90%, the alternative would be for you to fork out like a million or two in getting every conceivable off-the-shelf product at full retail. But, of course, that would go the other way with the price. You'd have to jack the price up from its current level substantially.
Yes, I mean that would just change the whole game, frankly. And the market is valuable to us not so much for the revenue it generates, but because of the connection it gives us into these key customers. Because the people running these systems are people that who pretty much drive a lot of the new development work we do. So the customer contact is important, but the revenues aren't significant enough that if we had to start buying our own systems, we would want to do so. We would probably just simply cut the whole product line at that point.
So let's just give some perspective on that for those people that either are current customers or maybe they're customers of the Foundry but don't actually use any of the Autodesk systems products. If tomorrow morning everybody decided to not buy any more Foundry, Sparks, 4, Flame, Inferno, Smoke, etc., this isn't going to mean that the Foundry suddenly lays off half its staff and goes out of business or anything, is it? It's not like that this is going to sort of dramatically impact your business in terms of that kind of dire consequence.
No, financially we don't really see that it's going to be a big deal at all. I mean, the Autodesk stuff, clearly from the history of the Foundry, the connection into this market has been a core part of what grew the Foundry initially over a decade ago. But today the Foundry is so much bigger than this initial nugget, if you like, that the nugget, while we're emotionally attached to it and we're attached to the customers in it, financially it's actually not a big deal.
And I remember, you know, that Tinder literally was like about the first spark that you could get on a Flame back in the day.
Yeah. I know Bruno and Carl, every time they meet and have a drink, probably still argue that point. But Bruno does like to say that we were there first.
Well, definitely between Sapphire and Tinder, it was the let's like agree on the first two. sparks that that anyone had. And of course, it grew from those early days. And the Foundry now is a much bigger company than it was back then. But there are customers like myself actually who knew Tinder and then grew into having things like Furnace. And as you know, I'm a big fan of Furnace because I love the image processing nature of the work that it does beyond what I call eye candy into sort of hardcore image processing. So let me ask you this, is that going to in any way affect the development work of things like Furnace for, say, use in Shake or Nuke or anything outside of the Autodesk line?
No, I mean, all of that pretty much carries on as normal because the key stuff we do, which is all the image processing algorithmic research work, we apply that across the board to so many different hosts, and obviously including our own host now. And that all of that work carries on. So the thing we'll be missing here is whether it'll be worth, again, us putting the time into making any of this new stuff work on Autodesk Systems products. And so today, it doesn't look like there'd be a good commercial case. It's too risky, frankly, to put this new stuff across. But, you know, it might change. I mean, the world doesn't remain static, and I'm sure this situation won't remain static either.
So, for example, the biggest hit that I would take as, a current customer, if I was just sitting somewhere in the world listening, is that it's not going to stop working 1st of February. It's not like anything I currently own is going to suddenly deactivate its license or anything. It's just that you can't then sort of actively bug test, bug fix, and move forward. So, for example, the 3D, you know, optical stuff that you've been doing with
Oculus Stereo 3D stuff
is sort of like, you know, the first casualty. I'm not going to see that on a flame because you just can't port it over because you don't have one, kind of thing. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, so today we don't have one, and if we get some under some informal arrangement, again, it's probably still too risky to spend the money in putting it together on that platform. So again, this is all the level of risk which the normal Autodesk Developer Network program takes away from you to some extent.
Right. And so so this is not a knee-jerk reaction because we've been you know, tracking this for several weeks now. So you are actually in dialogue. This is not some kind of it's not like anyone's having a dummy spit or anything, is it? This is just that you just haven't managed to reach an arrangement and you've actually kind of run the clock out on having any systems at your place.
Yes, that's it in a nutshell. So we've put a huge amount of time into this over the last month, the position we're in today is just simply an issue of let's try and be fair and upfront with customers. We certainly don't want to be selling systems today and having people come back tomorrow and saying, "What do you mean you can't support it?" The current pricing level, whatever happens next, really, it's probably pretty much a win-win anyway that our customers might want to look at it. So, for example, if you buy at these prices today and we really can't support you next month, it's still a fantastic bargain. And if you buy at these prices today and things turn around over the next few months and we can support you over the next few months, then it's an even more fantastic bargain. So it seems to be the right thing to do.
Now, one of the things that is the sort of small print that's important in this new pricing model is what's happening with the burn licenses, because obviously up until now that's been more complex, but you're changing completely the burn licensing as of this month of January.
Yeah, so the burn licenses across these products will now be free, to some extent more than free, they'll actually be unlicensed. So part of our motivation here is that if you look at how much the price would have to go down compared to the support cost of us actually helping people install their burn networks, it's kind of worth our while to simplify the whole process, both from a pricing point of view, so the pricing comes down to zero, and from an installation point of view, where it becomes unlicensed. In the last month of December, before we lost our developer network stuff, we have rebuilt a final version of everything which runs with burns with which are unlicensed.
So the last version of the Autodesk product line that you've supported is what? Like, you've anything that's in current release today has been tested? Is that?
That's right, yes. Okay. So anything that's currently out there has been tested, and we've had anecdotal evidence on any current betas as well. And Autodesk these days don't change the SDK that dramatically that quickly. So the odds of everything carrying on working for some considerable time are fairly high.
Right. So if I was glass half full, I could say, well, I can now get Furnace on everything and Tinder and Keylight for that matter, and yep. It should all be fine. But the difference is that I'm doing that kind of optimistically rather than guaranteed.
Yeah, that's right. It's just that we usually try and be confident about what level of support we can provide, and at the moment we're not confident about what level we can carry through the year. So yes, that's pretty much where we are.
And if I was interested in Furnace for one of the other products, for, you know, obviously quite a few that you support, but let's pick one at random, like Shake or something, the pricing there hasn't been affected, has it?
No, so all of that stuff carries on exactly as normal. We're only dealing specifically with this one set of hosts, and that the pricing and everything is pretty much still as it always was.
Right. So I guess the hope is, as I said, this is not like some kind of petulant move. So the hope is that you'll get to some new position. Because, I mean, in fairness, if I was to sort of put you on the spot for a second, in fairness, you know, you make Nuke, and it would be easy to argue that Nuke competes with the Autodesk compositing system products, or certainly could compete with things like Toxic and stuff. So to a certain extent, not having you close in on beta and stuff could be an argument that would be, you know, easily suggested by someone from Autodesk. They haven't said that to us, but I'm just saying, you know, it makes sense. So this is like a new ground that you're looking for, somewhere where you're not given, you know, access to pre-release stuff, which may be commercial in confidence, but you are given access enough to test and support. And if that was given, you certainly haven't indicated in this conversation that there's any sort of you wouldn't throw this away. If they did come back and there was some way of moving forward that the Foundry would, and with some confidence, you'd be happy to keep going?
Yes, that's exactly true. What we were hoping for over December was to find this middle ground. And I actually think that with Autodesk, we have talked circled enough around the middle ground that we both think both parties think they know where it is. And the key issue we're missing at the moment is some contractual representation of that middle ground. So the position we're in is that an assurance that the middle ground exists isn't something we can do business with. We can do business with contracts. So if our middle ground can be represented in word form, where both parties are happy that they can agree to some contractual representation of this middle ground, then everything will be as good as back to where it was, that our customers won't need to notice the difference. So
So in fairness, from Autodesk's point of view, I think what I'm hearing you say is that they've said that they're keen to work with you, and you just haven't yet sort of seen it in writing. Is that kind of a layman's view of it? It's not that they're not saying, you bastards, run off and stop talking to us.
No, they've been polite and affable all the way through. So there's probably a reasonable cause to hope for some resolution to it. But I know that Autodesk is a large company. I know that the legal side of this might move quite slowly. So we can hope for some legal resolution. It might take a long time to happen. And while we're in that limbo state, then I think what we're doing now is the right thing to do.
Okay, so this is, as I say, glass half full, something that may sort of all get turned around in February, in which case this will be the sale of the century, certainly the sale of the year. And if it doesn't get turned around, then I don't expect that things are going to suddenly grind to a halt, you know, February 1st, but some point down the track I might have some issues. So what happens if I just bought a license? Is there anything I can do if I, like, yesterday, like, well, for Christmas, I went and bought my company a set of Tinder licenses. Have I just out of pocket, or can I do anything about that?
No, clearly, there are such people out there, and our sales team will deal with them in a fair and reasonable manner. That was one of the first things we considered. we were in that limbo state where we knew something was going on, and we knew we had to try and resolve it. And if we resolved it, then there would be no issue. And if we didn't, then we'd have to come back and deal with those customers in a sensible way. So for those people who are out there, either the sales team will contact them, or if they contact the sales team will make them happy.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking time to explain that, because it is a little complicated, and it's actually particularly good just to hear it coming from you as one of the founders, and of course somebody that we've known to be an active supporter of Sparks, as I say, for like 12 years now. So certainly as long as I've been on a flame. So thank you so much for your time.
Yes, it does seem like a long time, doesn't it?
Well,
yes, thank
you
for
know,
your time, Mike.
Not so long, perhaps.
No.
See ya.
Okay then, thanks a lot, Mike.
Well, thanks for that, guys, and Simon and everyone at Foundry and Autodesk. I really hope they can work something out, because I think that the development of Furnace and Tinder and Keylight and so forth for Flame really helped Discrete in the early days, and I'm a big fan of their products, and I hope that the next time that I upgrade my Flame software, that I'll actually be able to run those Sparks on the system. And I like the hopeful attitude that Simon had, and I really do hope that that middle ground that he spoke of can be agreed upon, they can get something in writing, so that, you know, those of us who use their products can have a little assurance that the products are going to work moving forward. I think that's really important, and I hope it works out. And yeah, it'll end up being the killer deal on Furnace, Tinder, and Keylight to start out the new year. Well, that's it for this week. Again, as I mentioned at the start of the podcast, we got a fantastic new term over at fxphd.com. We're really excited about it. I kind of laughed about the fact about the economic downturn, which is actually hitting pretty hard in the industry. But what we want to do is just focus on the core audience of FX Guide and FX PhD, which is post-production, and really focus on those this term and help you guys really keep your skills up and keep on top of new and developing things in the field, so that when you do have that job or new opportunity for a job, you're ready to take it and run with it. Well, that's it for my partners, Jeff Huser and Mike Seymour. I'm John Montgomery. Thanks for listening.
Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2008 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide.